Live from the HananiahAutos.com studio, this is Jaguars Thursday.
Jaguars Thursday.
JP Shadrick, Jeff Loggeman, and Tony Baselli bring you the latest Jaguars news and what's happening around the NFL. Jaguars Thursday is brought to you by Baptist Health, Ticket Exchange, and by Everbank.
Touchdown, Jacksonville!
Jaguars Thursday, driven with SunPass, begins right now.
We're off and running from the HananiahAutos.com studio at Everbank Field. JP Shadrick, Jeff Loggeman, Tony Baselli missing in action. He's on a boat somewhere, I believe.
Was he on spring break?
Yeah, he was on spring break like 3 weeks
Look,
ago,
man,
too.
There's no spring break when it comes to football.
It's year-round.
I mean, come on, man.
If you're missing spring break, somebody else is working on spring break.
Free agency's still rocking. Draft evaluation continues.
Yes.
I mean, come
yes.
on, Baselli. I mean, just because you had to go to London doesn't mean you get a week off.
He's going to be a week or – he's actually going to be 2 weeks behind now.
I mean, he already missed the one going to London. I don't know what the hell he was doing over there. I mean
– being Tony Baselli, I guess.
Yeah. being Tony Baselli.
So there's that. So we'll have him – is he back next week?
I don't know. I can't say anything because you know what, in June?
Guess what? You're gone,
bye
too.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, and we both have a little time.
Yeah, but I'm not going to miss the important stuff, free agency and draft and, you know, all the other stuff. I mean, heck, the Jaguars are busy signing people all week. Where's Baselli?
Somewhere on a boat.
Yeah.
Somewhere on a boat. I don't think he's worried about it either.
Come on, man.
I don't know if he's worried about what you're thinking either.
He's probably not.
That'll
be my guess.
He is. We'll see what he thinks whenever he's back in the building. Yeah, busy. Jags signing guys. Former Jaguars signing elsewhere still. We'll go through some prospects and some proposed rule changes. The NFL annual meeting is next week in Phoenix.
And some structural changes possibly to the game broadcast,
yes.
according to Roger Goodell.
Yes, that'll all be of interest. We'll go around the league as well. Let's start off with the signing. Michael Rivera, tight end from the Oakland Raiders, 10 career touchdowns. Same high school and college as Malik Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
They were teammates at Birmingham High School in L.A.
They were like champions, I think, or something one year when they were in high school. Which, you know, when you got two players like that in high school, you ought to win a lot of games.
You'd think.
Yeah, no, but it's good. I mean, he's going to provide depth. I know that I think his rookie year he led the Raiders in receiving. You know, he's not a spry, unproven rookie, you know, I think tight end is a position that, look, the more guys that you can get, competition that you can get is good because right now they don't have a lot of depth.
No.
You know, so
Mercedes, I think that's good. You got Koyak, you got Sterling, and now you got Rivera, right? There's a couple other guys. Alex Ellis is around.
Yeah, and Alex Ellis is. I think he's a bubble guy. He played last year, and from what I saw, you needed to get a Michael Rivera. You know, I mean, not trying to be critical of him, but where he's at, that's the honest truth. You know, he's a young player, doesn't block particularly well, doesn't catch the ball, does not flee the foot. You know, he's kind of a guy. You know, bubble type player, which is fine. You know, because I remember a couple of years ago when Ben Koyak got drafted, I remember kind of looking at him the same way. And credit to him, he worked hard. He continued to grow and develop. And I think he's a pretty good football player. You know, I don't think he's a frontline guy by any stretch of the imagination, mm-hmm. but he's a good, solid, you know, second, third tight end. And he's turned out to be a nice acquisition for a late-round pick.
We don't want to hang your hat on that all the time, do you?
No.
You still want to go get as many good, talented tight ends as you can.
Yeah, you know.
And obviously, according to Jaguars.com, E.J. Bibbs on the roster and Gannon Sinclair. So no disrespect to those guys.
Who are they?
I left them out.
Yeah, who are they? Do you know?
No.
I don't either.
No.
You know, I will say this.
You need 90 guys.
And that the young man at Alabama.
O.J. Howard. You might have heard of him.
Who I watched him last week, JP,
mm-hmm.
on film. You know, this is the time of year, you know, pick, you know, four or five guys, maybe a little bit more. Watch.
I heard you have spent some time in the film room.
I've been watching.
For Jaguars.com.
I've been watching, and I can tell you that the young man from Alabama can play ball. And very surprising that Nick Saban didn't utilize him more, especially with a young, fairly inexperienced quarterback at the helm for the Roll Tide. You know, and I know you follow them since that is your –
Well, they ran
did
the
you
ball.
Go to school there?
I might have.
Okay. Did you graduate?
I did, on time and everything.
Okay.
Yeah.
But he's fun to watch. And, You know, he's very strong.
Did I graduate? Just ask me.
Well, I was just checking.
Did you graduate?
Of course, on time.
Okay.
Degree in economics.
Congratulations.
I'm good. But, you know, he's fun to watch because, you know, he's so strong. And they play him in a lot of different spots. They actually play him out wide. They play him on the line, you know. And, I mean, if I was a football coach at the University of Alabama, I know Lane Kiffin was the offensive coordinator there last year up until the bowl game, mm-hmm. I would have found more ways to get him the football.
Well, they had so many other guys. The receiving crew was pretty good there, and they ran the ball a lot. And you would think when the quarterback would move, the tight end would be in play a little more. And for some reason, it just wasn't a part of the game.
Kind of surprised, but he's fun to watch because he's so strong once he catches the ball that it's very rare that one person brings him down. He's got very good hands. He's got really nice speed. The one guy, when you look at the draft prospects that I'm looking forward to watching, is the tight end at Miami. And I don't know his name off the top of my head. I can probably pull it up here, but from what I understand, he's another one of those guys at University of Miami that didn't play football for a very long time. I'm gonna pull him up right mm-hmm. here. I got it, David, and I don't know exactly how to pronounce his last name.
Njoku.
Yeah, Njoku maybe. Yeah. From what I understand, he's kind of a late bloomer, maybe played basketball, something like that. And I'm not sure if that's right or not. I haven't read up on him yet. He's one of the guys that I need to watch. I only watched one tight end so far. Been watching a lot of the defensive players because I don't know if the Jaguars are going to go there or not, but there's a lot of defensive players at the top of the draft, yeah. So that's really where I've been so far.
Yeah, and that was going to kind of be my next question here was, is 4 is too high for a tight end, especially with all these top defensive players kind of near the top? Or is it? If
well,
you
I don't
need
think,
that
I,
position,
look,
does it matter?
Here's my thought on it, because you know I'm a huge Leonard Fournette fan, you know, for the Jaguars, and with all the defensive players, a lot of people say, well, you got all these other top defensive players at the top of the draft, you know, why would you, you know, you can get a running back anytime. Yeah, you can get a running back anytime, but I don't think you can get the one that's got the ability, who I think is a generational player, in Leonard Fournette. I think he's Adrian Peterson-like.
Fournette aside, is tight end at 4 too high?
No.
Tight end?
No.
If you need a tight end like
and
that.
And the reason
O.J. Howard's the best tight end since sliced bread.
Look at the tight ends in the National Football League and how big of an impact that they've been able to have in the games. I mean, it's amazing.
Yeah.
And so with a draft that is viewed as what many will say, that it is very defensive-laden with talent, the thought also can be that, look, if you're going to get your offensive players, you better get them first because then you can pick up defense later on. So, no, I don't think it's too high for a tight end. Now, look, if you're going to get a tight end that high, you better have it in the game plan to utilize a guy that high.
That's true.
You know, because you can't expend – you know, a number 4 overall pick or a top 10 pick on a tight end unless you have the plan to use them. So, no, I don't think it's too high. I think he's a fabulous football player, and I think that he has a lot of, you know, tread left on that tire. Because, you know, look, the University of Alabama players, you know, the knock and what some people say of when they come out of Alabama is that they're kind of wore out. I don't know if that's true or not. But some people will say that, and that they've gotten used up a little bit. But
I can see that in the running back game.
Yeah, and
sure.
You know, look,
even though they have a couple of guys, they start there.
Well, and looking at O.J. Howard, I mean, he's a fantastic player. I really didn't watch a ton of his blocking ability because I, you know, look, he's got the height, weight, size.
Big
look,
guy.
You can teach
yeah.
that. You know, Mercedes sure. Lewis, when he came out, what was Mercedes Lewis known as?
Yeah.
I mean, he won the tight end award, and I don't know exactly which one it's called.
The Mackey Award?
The Mackey Award, I think, mm-hmm. where that's given to, you know, a tight end that's catching the ball a lot in college. Nobody was even thinking that Mercedes Lewis was going to turn out to be one of the best blocking tight ends in the game in his era.
Same thing. Basketball player early and moved over and blossomed in football, decided to go that route.
Yeah, and, you know, look, Mercedes has, you know, was taught by Kyle Brady. Mercedes obviously has had an impact in teaching Ben Koyak. He takes pride in being a blocker. So, yeah. I mean, look, if Howard's there, you know, and you love him, and if he's that good, take him. But, you know, there's a lot of other players that are going to be at the top of the draft. And, you know, I would love to see this team trade down a little bit you know, pick up an extra pick. But I just don't know if there's going to be something there that would entice a team to come up and swap picks with the Jaguars and get that extra pick.
And we've had this discussion every year, at least since I've been around here, leading up to the draft, a top five draft pick. Could a team trade up? And there's never really been the shining guy at wherever the Jaguars are going to pick that a team's going to come up and get. We always talk about it. Oh, they could trade up. Somebody could trade up and do this. It has just never happened. It's kind of rare, well, unless there's a quarterback at the very top.
That's where it's got to be. You know, I think for the most part, if you look at historically with the draft, it's got to be a quarterback.
And you have to be the number one or two pick a lot of times too. Right.
Right. You know, and this year's a little different though. You know, the quarterbacks are probably going to fall in that, you know, in that 4 to 10 range, you know, when they start to go. You know, and it, like I watched Deshaun Watson, he's a fabulous player. I know the kid at Notre Dame, Kaiser. The kid and Mike Mayock has him rated number one on his board as far as the quarterbacks go. Trubisky's there. Patrick Mahomes from Texas Tech is kind of starting to gain a little bit of momentum. Yeah. So, you know, look, I think there's still, you know, some evaluation going on with the quarterbacks. But look, if there's a quarterback there and some team loves him and the Jaguars have the ability to trade down, you know, look, you got to consider it. You know, out of all the guys, though, that I have watched so far, JP, mm-hmm. the guy that I absolutely love is Fournette. I mean,
he's a bad man.
I mean, he's unbelievable.
Yep.
I mean, he does things. And I know there was a conversation to where people were saying, look, Dalvin Cook, you know, is rated higher than him. No freaking way. It's not even close.
Well, Cook, remember at the combine, Cook did not have the best of combines.
Well,
and now Fournette.
Ignore all
okay.
that.
You're looking at the tape.
Watching tape, it's not close. Leonard Fournette is a much better player than Dalvin Cook. And I know Dalvin Cook has the yards and he's got great speed. But in my opinion, I don't think those two are in the same ballpark. Now, that's just watching film. With Dalvin Cook, if you start factoring in injury history,
yeah.
off the field history,
yeah, sure.
then I don't think they're even in the same stratosphere. So I think they're two very different players. I think Fournette would come in and make an immediate impact with this football team. Immediate. He's that good.
If looking at Fournette, the question we had the other day on Jaguars.com Live, Bucky Brooks was on with us, your former teammate here. Can he move laterally? Can he make cuts, make guys miss? Because in the SEC and in college, he's been able to run over people. And it's hard to do that in the NFL.
Yeah, I don't know where people get that from, you know, because I've heard that commentary about Fournette. I don't see it. I mean, I see him making people miss.
And Bucky agreed, by the way, with you. So
yeah, I mean, I don't.
He can make shifty moves, but
a lot of people. And then you know, look, there's the mock draft. John Osher.
Yeah, on Jaguars.com.
He actually has mocked Leonard Fournette to the Jaguars at number 4.
And he's not confident in that.
There's a lot of good football players, you know, so it's hard to be confident when there's a lot of good football players. You know, Jonathan Allen's a really good football player who has a rotational player at Alabama, big, strong defensive tackle. You know, Tom Coughlin has a history of liking the big guys in the drafts. And so it would also kind of be easy to say, well, maybe Jonathan Allen fits better. There's not really an offensive lineman, so you can't really go on the offensive side of the ball. An offensive lineman that fits in the top probably 10 to 15,
yeah.
you know. So, you know, I think Fournette's a fabulous player. And I know a lot of people kind of downgraded him a little bit because he was injured this past year. How do you do that? I mean – just because a guy got hurt.
Yeah, he only played like 7 games last year, right?
Yeah, and you watch – and I didn't watch his film from 15.
Oh, dear.
I watched his film from 16.
So the Ole Miss game where he ran for the school record in like 7 carries. He had the school record for a single game.
And
the first 7 carries.
Nobody catches him. You know, so I think he's a marvelous player. And I think that – and I was looking at Mayock. Mayock actually has Fournette as the number one running back. He has McCaffrey as the number two.
Yeah.
Dalvin Cook is three.
Losing steam.
And I don't know if I would agree that Dalvin Cook needs to be below McCaffrey, but I would agree that it's a debate.
And, well, McCaffrey put on a show in Indy now, into that.
He puts on a show every Saturday that he suits up.
Yeah.
You talk about a guy that can do everything, watch the film on him. Yeah. I mean, he can line up and play multiple positions. You know, but I don't know if he's not in the same category as Fournette.
No.
You know, the one guy that I haven't watched yet is the running back that has had some serious off-the-field issues.
Joe Mixon.
That's right.
Good player.
I haven't watched him yet.
Really good player.
I look forward to watching him. Look, the film doesn't show the off-field problems.
No.
You know, just like I talked about with Dalvin Cook, I don't know what he did, you know, to get in trouble off the field. I don't know what his injury history is. I'm not privy to those type of things. But, you know, my opinions are based on when I watch these guys on film. And that's it.
That's all we need to know, right?
All I can tell you.
Hey, we'll come back and discuss Tyson Alualu. He signed with the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Great fit.
This week. What he has meant to the Jacksonville Jaguars organization. A little later, we'll discuss some proposed rule changes in the National Football League. We'll go around the league as well. McGowan's AC is giving you a chance to get your electric bill paid for the entire 2017 season. Just guess the weekly order of opponents for the 2017 season. If I can speak English, that might help. Guess the weekly order of opponents for the 2017 Jaguars season, and you could win. Enter today at McGowansAC.com. This, indeed, is Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars.com and Jaguars Radio.
Some talent. You know, you just got to put the pieces together, you know, get that chemistry, get on the same page, you know. I know we want to win. We know that's there. You know, we just got to listen to the coaches, you know, buy in, you know, be on the same page, and I think – I know that great things are going to happen with us this year. We just got to be dedicated, and we got to be ready and willing to adapt and adjust to what we're about to get into.
Dante Fowler Jr. today on Ozone Live on the Jaguars Facebook page. The archive is there and on Jaguars.com if you want to check it out. 15 minutes where Ozone grills him. And then fans can ask questions as well. Social media questions for Dante today. So check that out. Dante will be without a player he was lining up with last season. Tyson Alualu signing with the Pittsburgh Steelers this week, ending a long run in Jacksonville. Former first-round pick, injured early before he even stepped foot on the field, really. In a
needless drill.
Yeah, but never missed a game until last season when he was pulled out of the
lineup. Which is amazing.
Especially after what happened early in his career.
Yeah, I mean, look, a durable, dependable, was he worth where he was drafted? No. Look, Gene Smith was widely criticized for picking Tyson Alualu, and I get it. He probably didn't deserve to be drafted that high, but, you know, and Tyson kind of absorbed a lot of criticism, you know, in the first 5 years of his career. And I kept saying that, look, you know, you're not in charge of where you're drafted, you know, so don't, you know, as fans, you know, you don't be mad at Tyson Alualu, you know, so, but extremely dependable, comes to work every day, incredibly strong hands, can play multiple positions, and really showed, I thought, over the last 2 years when they played, you know, this Gus Bradley defense. And they had tried to sign – they got Red Bryant in to be the strong side 4B defensive end. And then they went out and drafted or signed in free agency Jared Odrick.
Mm-hmm.
And Tyson was better than both of them. In all cases, across the board, he was the best strong side defensive end and the most reliable. And a good family man, a man of God, got a lot of respect for Tyson. Look, always available for practice, always going to do what you're asked of. I mean, those are the type of players. I mean, he is a pro. And I think when any young player that's ever came through here over the years that Tyson has been here, he would have been a great player to emulate and follow see his work habit, see his work ethic, and see how he plays and prepares himself for game day, because he has been a very good football player for this team. Now, look, I know he wasn't worthy of maybe being picked where he was. Trading down to get him would have been probably better, but that's not his fault.
That's right.
And it's going to be, he's going to be a great fit for the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah, 2 years, $6 million, $1.2 million signing bonus for him. How does he fit there?
He'll fit perfectly. Look, Tyson, look, where he's been playing at for the last couple of years in this defense, where he was the strong side end, is a good fit for him. I mean, that's, he's strong, he can hold the point, he's got good hands, he's got effort, he's got hustle, he's got all the attributes that you want. And Pittsburgh, the way that they play, the style that they play, it's a linebacker design defense. So the front three guys are eating up a lot of blocks.
Hold up guys, so
they're
reading,
linebackers can run. You know, they're not hitting the gaps. Yeah. You know, so it's a good fit for his skill set. Very good fit, and credit to the Pittsburgh Steelers for finding a good fit for their scheme, because he will come into the door and contribute right away.
Are you liking the Jaguars' starting defensive line right now?
Yeah, I'm liking it, you know, but I'm going to be curious a couple things. How they utilize Calais Campbell. Will they tweak the defense to not utilize him as that 4B, you know, in, on first and second down? Now, look, I know that when you go and you're talking about moving Calais Campbell to the inside, that he is going to be a three technique guy in the nickel, and nickel is the predominant defense in the National Football League, the front. It's, you know, it's what, 60-65% of the downs.
Yeah.
You know, but in order for Calais Campbell to be even better on first and second down, not in that 65% and the 35%, that's math there, JP, for
is
you.
It really?
That is.
Thanks.
And that if he can be a five technique, I think it will help the defense more, and I think it will help Calais Campbell more. He is a really good football player. You know, so I think he's going to be a good fit. Malik Jackson, obviously, is a good fit. I think he's only going to get better this year.
Avery?
Avery Jones, I've been saying it for 2 years that I thought that he was better than Roy Miller. And I'm not saying by a wide margin. They're two different type of players.
A little more versatile, maybe.
But I think he gave you – more impact plays. Roy was better at holding the double teams and the point. But Avery had the ability to split a double team and make a play. Big Roy wasn't going to give an inch. Ask Paul Posluszny and Telvin Smith how much they like Big Roy Miller.
Yeah, sure.
You know, but look, Avery Jones, a marvelous player. And I've said this before, much like Ben Koyak, when Ben Koyak came in, I remember watching Avery Jones' his rookie year as an undrafted free agent from the University of Georgia. And he really didn't show much. You know, bad body, didn't show much. And then I was talking to Dave Caldwell, and he said, look, he said he had a pretty serious injury at Georgia. And I was like, well, I didn't know that. And he said, you should watch his tape from his, I think it was his junior year he was referring to, and when he was really good. And so Dave was right. He was right on the money, and I think they did the right thing, and obviously they did the right thing in keeping him, to allow him to develop and become the player that he is now, because he's a really good football player.
Yannick Ngakoue made most of the starts last year, and Dante would roll in there from time to time. Can that change for Dante?
I can tell you one thing that will change. They're not introducing Ngakoue and Dante Fowler as starters this year.
Right.
And I never really understood that, you know, that – both of them played the same position, so essentially they were announcing 12 starters for the defense last year. Mm-hmm. Why?
I don't know.
Okay. There's 11 starters. You know, in reality, if you wanted to announce him as a starter, okay, well then don't announce Roy Miller, because announce your nickel defense. You know, then why not announce your nickel cornerback as a starter? You know, so – that will change.
So, yeah, but on the field, what does he have to do to overtake Yannick to be able to start? Or does it matter that much even?
Well, it doesn't matter that much because it goes to that 35-65 thing that we're talking about. Yeah. And that, you know, Dante and Ngakoue, provided, you know, nobody else is signed and comes in here and beats one of the two out, you know, that those two guys are going to be, you know, the edge rushers. Right now, on paper, that's what it appears to be. They're going to be the edge rushers and nickel packages. So, look, if does he have to – what does he have to do to overtake the first and second down snaps and base personnel? Well, I don't really think he has to do anything. First of all, he's got to show you that, you know, look, taking him off the field, you're losing a lot. But I think he's gotten better. But, you know, Dante has to do – he has to learn to become more of a student of the game. I think that's one thing that I was very impressed with Ngakoue. He has a thirst for knowledge and a thirst to learn moves and expand his moves, his repertoire of moves. And I think that's the thing that has impressed me most about him. He's got a patented chop, rip, move, little kind of, it's like got a little hop step in it, and it's incredibly effective. He's got to be able to have a counter off of that. Dante needs to learn the first one, which is, you know, your primary move. Yannick has one. He's working on a complementary move. Dante needs to get the main move, and I think is the best main move that he could have is speed to the outside, but he hasn't learned and understood that yet. And that you know, the maturity thing is pops up when you talk about Dante.
Is the hand on the ground thing an issue for him? Would it be better if he stood up?
Could it be better? Maybe.
But or does he just got to deal with it?
It doesn't really matter whether his hand is in the ground or he's standing up. He has to have the understanding that when the ball is snapped as a pass rusher, if your greatest attribute is speed and athleticism, you have to threaten right away with speed. Whether you do that from a three-point, whether you do that from a two-point, it doesn't matter.
Because that sets up whatever else
that's
you can
everything.
Do. Yeah.
You know, because when we saw Dante in training camp when he was just crazy good, when we were like, oh, my Lord, you know, and we were freaking out, you know, and we kind of probably got ahead of the game a little bit. We got a little overexcited. We should have given ourselves a speeding ticket, you know, but he did look that good. And when he looked that good, he was utilizing his speed, threatening the edge, and then just being an athlete and reacting once he established the threat of speed. And he needs to get back to doing that.
Check out Jack Hanania's Audi Jacksonville on Blanding. You can lease a beautiful new A3 from just $229 a month. Head over today for details. It's a fun discussion. I like hearing defensive talk with Jeff Logan. It's always
better than offensive line talk.
We'll hold
almost
off on that.
Almost.
We'll come back and go through these proposed rule changes. The NFL owners meetings are next week. This is Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars.com and Jaguars Radio.
I've really enjoyed the time I spent out there. I think it's really been beneficial. I feel really good as far as where I'm at mechanically and how the ball's coming out and how it's spinning and all that. So I think it's been good. You know, I was excited. I'm going to head back out next week for, you know, another 2 weeks or whatever. And then I'll be back in Jacksonville.
There's your quarterback, Blake Bortles, at his golf tournament for the Blake Bortles Foundation this past Sunday. They had the big concert show Saturday as well at Ponte Vedra Concert Hall. The golf tournament was down at the King and Bear, right?
Yeah.
You played, right?
Yeah, actually.
Your
I
back
actually
was better enough to play.
I had to stop about every four holes and either lay on the green and stretch or lay on the cart path and stretch.
No, that's
but,
a sight to
I made
see
it. Kudos to Blake and the people that have helped or did organize that golf tournament. What a tremendous job. And I know that Greg Adams has a lot to do with that, one of
yes,
Blake's friends. They did a great job, and to be able to get the music acts that they've been getting for that second year now, that tournament, tremendous. Great sponsorship, great support in the community. And Blake did a great job of really spending some time with everybody at the golf tournament. And he actually, we used his drive on one hole. He played one hole with us. We were playing with three because it was me and Brad and Dennis and then Tara. And Tara, she can't swing a golf club yet. She's not approved from the neck injury.
That's right. Yeah.
So so we're like, hey, we are short a person. So what we're doing is kind of alternate. You know, somebody else would take the two shots because it's scramble, you know, which is the only kind of golf I like to play.
worlds are colliding right now, by the way, because you're talking about golf. I don't understand.
See, I know.
I can't even comprehend what's coming out of your mouth right now.
I'm throwing you off.
But we used
one of his drives. He had a nice drive. But it was a lot of fun. A lot of fun. I got a chance to meet Blake's mom and dad, his uncle.
They're great folks.
Super nice people.
Yes.
Super nice people. And it was a pleasure to meet them. And credit to them for doing good for the community and what they're doing. I mean, look, they're raising money, and it's coming right back into the community here in Jacksonville. So great job, Blake. Great job, Bortles family, and all the people that helped do that, Greg Adams included.
We all know how big a year it is for Blake. We don't have to go really into detail with that.
Understandable,
tonight.
That's pretty
easy to see. So next week, the NFL annual meeting, which is in layman's terms the owners' meetings. They have a number of different owners' meetings each year, but this is the big one where competition committee recommends the owners vote on rule changes and other things. Moves for teams as well are voted on. So a lot coming up this week, including
it's widely anticipated that maybe a one Tony Romo may finally get traded or released by the owners' meeting.
During the owners' meetings. By the end of it.
That's what people are thinking. We'll see. Jerry Jones still holding on to hope that he can get a draft pick out of the Houston Texans or the Denver Broncos.
Mm. Wow.
I think he just
needs might break his collarbone jumping off the plane.
He might.
Who knows? Raiders to Vegas could have a vote. There'll be some final discussions on that topic. And then the owners have to vote to get it done. 24 votes needed.
Did you see what the expected relocation fee is expected to be?
It's about half of what the L.A. one was, right?
Yeah, which is crazy.
Yeah, it is.
And I think how they calculate that, I think
300 and something million, right?
It has to do with the income generated from the team, expected income in the new market that they're going to be in. And obviously, L.A. is a very large market, so the expected revenue that the Chargers and the Rams could generate in L.A. was expected to be very high from the corporate commitments that they had. And the Raiders going to Vegas, which is considered a smaller market, so you're talking about half of the price for the relocation fee. And I read somewhere today, and I agreed with this, and that when the Raiders move to Vegas, which I expect that they will get the votes and they will move to Vegas.
There's no other option, really. But yeah,
that they will end up doing better financially in the long run than either team that has gone to L.A. Because you got to remember something. Vegas is not that far from L.A.
No.
As far as the drive goes. The Raiders already have a following in L.A. And so there will be people that drive from L.A. to Vegas to watch the Raiders. And look, we for those that have been around and have watched the National Football League and got to experience firsthand the NFL in L.A., it's not a great market. It's not a great football fan base. It's a great television market, and it's a great corporate market. But in my opinion, it's not a great football town.
Vegas will be interesting. How expensive will the tickets be there? How much of the fan base? Well, there's not going to be a lot of local fan base because it's not a huge town. There's such a transient group that comes through there. The tourists and the gamblers and everything come in there. Everybody's from out of town.
Well, there's going to be a lot of packages to where you can get a Raiders ticket as part of maybe accommodations at whatever casino and. And
they're all going to have the suites and
tickets.
So
look, it's with the LA market that close to Vegas, and then also with Raiders fans are Raiders fans, and it doesn't matter where the Raiders are. And so I expect them to have plenty of support in Vegas. And look, I think it's going to become a pretty cool thing to go to Vegas and watch an NFL game and then hit strip. It's not my gig, I could care less about going to Vegas, but some people think it's cool.
I think it's pretty cool. I've been to Vegas.
Yeah, I've been there, and I could care less about going back.
Yeah,
it's not my thing.
Yeah. Let's go through some of these rule change proposals.
All right.
Competition.
Explain the rule, and I'll comment on it. How about that?
Let's do that. Different teams can present ideas that the competition committee considers and then recommends to ownership for change. That's how it works. So one of those is reducing overtime to 10 minutes.
That's fine. I mean, how many games go to overtime?
You know, we got a handful last year. A lot of,
yeah, I know.
Jags,
but I mean, how many of them go past 10 minutes in overtime? It's not a big deal.
Well, we had one. What was that? 2012 was the year that we had three overtime games, right?
Okay.
And the Houston one that year, remember? Mm-hmm. The crazy one back and forth that ended with like 2 minutes to go in overtime. It was almost a tie. Anyway.
I mean, yeah. To me, it's not a big deal. It's a non-factor. Let it be 10 minutes, that's fine, because I think by shortening the amount of time that you have in overtime, it will push coaches to be more aggressive, knowing that the limited amount of time that they do have, which is fine.
Yeah. How about this proposal brought forward by the Bills and Seahawks? They want to allow challenges on every officiating decision, including pass interference or holding or whatever. It's a long shot because – Anything involving replay like that will not pass.
That is going to be gone.
Okay. Would you like that, though?
No, I would not. Because a lot of those things are judgment calls, and you can't sit there and have, you know, the man, which is going to be in charge of replay review back in New York, being the ultimate decision maker on whether there was a hold or not. I mean, those are judgment calls, and look, we don't always agree with them, but they are what they are. Let them be.
To that, and you just mentioned it, the league office, another proposal is to give them final say over replay decisions with input from the referee. Now, Dean Blandino was involved somewhat last season in this, but the word was the referee had the final say. This is to give the league office the final say.
Let me ask you something, JP.
Yes.
Let's say Jeff Triplett. Okay.
Okay.
And he's a head referee, right? Got his own crew?
Yes, he does.
Okay. Mm-hmm. He's got a replay review. And while he's in replay review, he's in contact with New York.
Yes.
Correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And what's the guy's name back in New York?
Blandino.
Okay.
It's one
Dean,
of them.
Dean
There's
Blandino.
Probably two others.
Okay. Whose boss is Triplett?
Blandino.
Okay. So Triplett and Blandino are having a conversation about this replay review, which has happened, right? That's happened
That's
last year.
That's how it works.
Okay, and Triplett tells Dean Blandino, I think that the play should stand. Dean Blandino says, I disagree. I think it should be reversed. If your boss is telling you that the play should be reversed, what do you think that Triplett is going to say to that? And what do you think that in that situation the referees have said to that?
Yeah. Hey, you know what, Dino? You're right.
Yeah. Yeah, so, I mean, all this is – that's a formality. It's a formality and as far as
– It's already happened
letting
that way
people,
anyway.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's how that works. But they're going to make it official, it sounds
Which,
like. That's
fine.
The idea.
No big deal.
How about this? Expand –
And a part of that, too, JP, just to let you know, they're talking about – eliminating the replay booth itself.
And having a tablet.
And having a tablet available on the field, which gives the NFL further opportunity to market the Microsoft Surface products.
Ah.
The question that I have is that on game day, you're talking 1 o'clock kicks in most instances, and the Surface is – sometimes it's difficult to see when there's a blazing sun. And the whole purpose of having the ability to go under the hood – is to eliminate sun so you can watch the screen effectively. So are they going to have a little mini hood on the Surface on the field? That's my question.
A little odd looking, right?
They better have one, because otherwise it's going to be very difficult for the referee on the field to be able to see the replay in his tablet, his Microsoft Surface. But it's going to be a great opportunity for the NFL to further showcase a major sponsor of the NFL.
This has been a hot topic in the last season or so. There's a proposal to outlaw jumping over the line to block a kick, field goal, or extra point. Would you? Jumping over the center?
I'm torn on this in that, one, I believe that, look, it adds excitement to the game.
I agree with that.
Right?
Yes. And then when it's timed right, it's unblockable, really.
Yes. But at the same token, it is – I mean, the whole design of the rule when they wanted to prohibit players from doing that was to protect the players that are at the line of scrimmage protecting for the field goal. And so if you're truly about player safety, and protecting the players, then you would just outlaw it, period, and not allow it in any shape or form. So I'm torn. You know, I think, in my opinion, it will pass and it will no longer be allowed. Probably. Just because it's player safety.
Yeah, and there's that much momentum
player safety. And if you're truly about it, then you need to eliminate even to that.
A couple of these are going to be permanent that were last year kind of up in the air. Moving the touchbacks to the 25, that'll probably stick around. Automatic ejection for two unsportsmanlike penalties. They'll probably make that permanent. That's on the docket.
It'll be permanent, and then I think they'll keep the touchback where it is.
Yes. And then the television broadcast could change a bit. Could they eliminate commercials after kickoffs? That's a question. Roger Goodell had talked about speeding up the game and eliminating some of the clutter on the broadcasts as well. And then maybe even moving halftime to – it's 12 minutes now – to make it 13 and a half minutes, because you have to put that time in somewhere to allow time for running off and on the field. There could be a lot of TV changes, maybe. I don't know if that has to go through competition.
The networks are paying a ton of money to the NFL. Yes. For the ability to broadcast the game. They've got to have the ability to be able to, I don't want to say break even, because they're probably not even breaking even. You know, most of the networks are taking a major loss broadcasting the NFL package, because it gives them the ability to really push all their other products on the network and promote. So I don't know if I necessarily see that happening, you know, but from watching the NFL games, you know, one of the things that I've noticed is that you go to a commercial break and you have a commercial, and you can eliminate the commercial break from after a kickoff or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not what really is taken away, in my opinion, from the broadcast of an NFL game on television. What takes away from the broadcast is that when you come back from a commercial break, there's live reads and billboards and everything else that network television is doing after they come back from a break. So it's essentially expanding the commercial part of it even more into the broadcast of the game. So the NFL would have to go to the networks and say, look, when you come back from a commercial break, you can't have, you know, Joe Buck reading cards, you know, that are 30 seconds long and having graphics and everything else, because it's essentially a commercial. But at the same time, look, that network's got to make money.
Yeah, and the other argument is that maybe they're reading the cards when the play clock is running and the team's in the huddle. It's a 40-second clock, right?
Yeah.
So the first 15 of that 40, they can read a card. The play's still going on.
I don't know.
That's the balance.
There has to be a balance, and I do agree with Roger Goodell's comments and that they need to make the broadcast more about the game. The answer to that is not an easy one, because it involves financial decisions. And it involves a partnership between the NFL and also the broadcast networks. And so to be able to find some type of middle ground to where everybody's happy is not going to be easy. But I, like I said, the commercial breaks are not what I have a problem with. It's when you come back from a commercial break, you're losing kind of the reestablishment of the game and maybe some explanation, maybe some color analysis, maybe something from the game. Show the ability to show a replay when you come back from a commercial break before the first snap, because you're sitting there talking about Geico or something, you know, whatever it may be.
15 minutes can save you 15% on car insurance.
Exactly.
We've read that on this network before.
Yeah.
Witness the fight for the green jacket live in Augusta with fellow Jacksonville Jaguars fans and Prime Sport. Visit primesport.com/Jaguars or call 800-591-9198 for more information. When we return, we'll go around the National Football League, including a familiar name with a division rival. This is Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars.com and Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday continues right now.
Yes, the countdown to Daly's Place opening night is 66 days. Brought to you by the Florida Restaurant and Lodging Association and Visit Florida. Play local, eat local, stay and play. And my question for you.
My question for you is, why are you taking away from my listening experience by having another line or commercial to read after we've come back from a break. See, this is what we're talking about with network television. Network television does the same thing.
Yeah.
Come back from a break and there's a huge liner to read.
It's not huge.
See, now yours.
10 seconds.
What did that last? 10 seconds. Okay.
It was March 23rd. At 6:53, that Jeff decided he didn't want to work here anymore.
That was it.
But here's the thing. Okay, have you ever seen television have 10 seconds coming back from a break? It always goes longer. And see, that, I think that's what takes away. You know, and the NFL's talking about maybe cutting back on the number of commercials. That's not the answer. That doesn't take away from the experience. It's that when the network televisions come back, they're doing more commercials when they come back.
But the play clock might be running while they're doing it.
Absolutely.
Well, then what are you worried about? They'd have to fill it somehow.
But that's the opportunity. First of all, they can still do some of it, but shorten what they're doing. Okay, and they're trying to squeeze every second out of it.
Wares anymore.
But if they would allow that time to reestablish things, to allow the play-by-play guy on the broadcast to talk about what had maybe happened prior to a commercial break, to maybe show a replay of what just happened, or to have to go back and show a big play and have the analyst break it down in that short amount of time.
I think they get all that in anyway.
I disagree with you.
I disagree with you.
Well, that's fine. You just like to hear yourself talk and read the liners, that's all.
May 27th, Tedeschi Truck Spin. It's a Saturday night.
Fired up
the opening show. Yes, I have my tickets. I'm ready. 66 days. The question I had for you, since you got to go first, was how do you know it's 66 days? Do you count that day of the show, or do you count today as well?
Me and my son have actually had that discussion
before. The 66 number includes today and the day of the concert, but do you count that? I don't know. Is it 65 or 60?
Well, that's interesting.
I was told there was no math, but we'll
okay. If the concert started tomorrow,
yes,
right now, would we be saying one day left?
No.
Yeah, we would. There's one day left.
Well, we would say there's
not
no day. We would say there's one
tomorrow.
Day until the concert.
I mean,
we're not there yet.
You wouldn't say 0 days, would you?
Not till tomorrow.
You just say it's tomorrow.
Right.
But if you're doing a countdown,
it would be one
day.
It would
be one day. Thank you.
So you have to count that day. You do have to count.
We had a long discussion about this today. Can you tell?
Yes.
Let's go around the National
Real
Football
deep discussion there, huh?
League. And speaking of a guy you just heard of.
Things must be really slow to have a discussion about a countdown.
There's a familiar name in the division now.
Yes.
Indianapolis Colts today signed a long snapper from Delaware. 6'5", 240-pound Joe Fortunato, who you just heard from, Jaguars manager of radio Joe Fortunato. It's not the same guy. If it is, we'll see you twice a year.
I was ready for the check, man.
Delaware is not very far away from Philadelphia. Is there a connection?
No, the guy's from, what'd you say, Linwood, New Jersey?
Yeah, Linwood, New Jersey.
Not far away.
It's not far away.
No, it's not far.
So congratulations, Joe.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
Is he related?
I'll do my best. I don't think so.
What is that DNA test they do now?
Ancestry?
Yeah.
Ancestry.
Yeah.
See, you're reading the liner.
They didn't pay for it, you know?
To use the Jersey and the Philadelphia language or jargon, the two of Utes need to get blood tested.
Use guys.
A couple quick around the league things before we
Joe
get out
Pesci
of here.
That said that
Utes? What's Utes? That's what the judge said. Dwight Clark, 49ers great and former Browns GM, announced recently he was diagnosed with ALS. Well, Bernie Kosar on ESPN Radio in Cleveland said, I could make a joke about his struggles in picking players when he was here. It almost makes me wonder if it started earlier. A little insensitive from Bernie.
Bernie Kosar is a jackass.
Okay.
And Bernie Kosar has never passed up an opportunity to prove to people that he is a jackass. And he's an embarrassment to himself. He's an embarrassment to the Cleveland Browns organization. And it's sad.
Yeah.
It really is sad.
Not the first time something like this has happened.
To see what Bernie Kosar has become. I'll leave it at that.
Okay. Fair enough. The Spring League is coming up next month in West Virginia.
Yeah.
Six games in the experiment. The plan is to field four teams, training camp April 5th, all games completed by April 26th. More than 20 players with experience on NFL active rosters and or practice squads, including Greg Hardy, Kellen Winslow Jr., Brandon Browner, Ben Tate, and our good friend Ricky Stanzi.
Yeah, Ricky Stanzi was here for a little bit, played with the Kansas City Chiefs prior to him coming here. And
are you into that, the whole extra league?
Will I watch it?
No, I mean,
no.
No. But is it good for the league to have more playing time?
I think anywhere, including like the World League, Arena, Canadian Football League. Look, I think the more football, the better. You know, because, look, maybe there's somebody. You know, look, I always liked the World Football League or NFL Europe.
Yeah.
Just because, I mean, it especially with the offensive linemen, it gave the league a great opportunity to have kind of like a farm system to allow players to develop because you can have practice squads and everything else, but there's no better experience than game experience, and that's what I thought was great about NFL Europe.
Have a great weekend.
Thank you. You too.
Jeff Loggeman. We'll have Tony back next week for Joe Fortunato and Hollywood Max Hockman. I'm JP Shadrick. Thank you for watching and listening. Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars.com and Jaguars Radio.